I want to reread a passage that Joanne read earlier, one particular verse, verse 44. This is Elizabeth talking right after she greets Mary at the door, and she says, "For as soon as I searched," we're going to try that one more time. "For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped with joy." Now, most of you know that our good doctor Luke wrote this gospel, but he also wrote the book of Acts. So they kind of are read as one continuous book. That word joy, he uses only one more time. He uses it in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, the 46th verse. Now, in the second chapter of Acts, this is the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come down. There's thousands of people who have in a single day been added to the church. And this is the winding down of that, the aftermath. "All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, and they ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having goodwill of all people." Let's pray. Emmanuel, God with us. During this Advent season, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, help us today to hear the word of the Lord spoken to us. Help us to learn things we need to know, and show us things we need to do. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so my daughter Jessie is 32-ish, I guess. I don't remember. She was born in 1986, so whatever that makes her, so 32. Anyway, when she was a little girl, I remember this one Christmas. There was one particular toy that she just was enamored with. She was about four. And so she comes out on Christmas morning, and there it is under the tree, left by Santa, unwrapped for her to see. She comes into the room, and she stops short of grabbing the package. And just, she can't stop. She can't do anything. The joy of that moment had totally overwhelmed every system in her body. And she was just, and it took probably 5 minutes before she touched it. It was just so overwhelming. She couldn't speak. She just was experiencing that joy. Wow. It's amazing how the older we get and the cares of the world and planning about tomorrow and thinking about next week and the mortgage and the car payment and all of that, sometimes that makes our mind unable to be that innocently straightforward like a child. Joy is one of those mysterious things that's hard to put your finger on. And it's not like I can tell you, have joy, right? I mean, I can't make you have joy. It doesn't work that way. I remember when I used to teach parenting classes, parents would say to me, I want my child to want to do his homework. My comment to them is always, I can teach you how to get your child to do his homework, but you will never make him want to do it. It's just, you can't. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. We can't create want in somebody else, and we can't create joy. They just are. This word that Luke uses only twice, I would pronounce it for you in the Greek, but I can't. Just trust me. It's the same word. It starts with an A. But It's not just joy. It's extreme joy. Exaltation. It is that. That's what happens to Elizabeth. And that, thought I got close to the stairs there for a minute. That's what happened to Elizabeth. And that's what happened to the first Christians on the day of Pentecost. When they were breaking bread together in the days directly after. Why? What happened on those 2 days that created such intense, extreme joy? One of the things I always want to encourage people, when you read your Bible, and I'm making the assumption that you do, when you read your Bible, always ask the question, why? It's not a dangerous question, I promise you. Don't assume you know why something is there. Ask about it. I've read the second chapter of Acts, and I've read the first chapter of Luke many, many times. But it was just this week, at this time, that it clicked to me. After all those other times of reading, for some reason I ask why. Why did the joy all of a sudden explode into the world on these 2 days? Don't know if I'm right, but I'm going to give you my thoughts on that as to why. Here's why I think. For the first time in human history, God had decided to interact differently with humanity. God had always been God. God created humanity. God had been worshipped by humanity, and God interacted in the world on behalf of humanity all throughout our Old Testament, our Hebrew Scriptures. But on this day, God became human. We're going to, in a few minutes, when we do our affirmation of faith from Philippians, God emptied himself and took on the form of humanity. God did not think that his godlike qualities were something that he had to hold on to and keep to himself. He wanted to share. And God became human. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ entered the world. And even as an unborn child, had the power to create extreme joy in the world. So on that Christmas, so long ago, the time leading up to it, with Elizabeth and Mary together, we see that God has changed how God wants to interact with humanity. God becomes one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is fully God, fully human. Don't ask me to explain that part. People have been trying to do that for thousands of years. But you can experience that part. And that's what happened on that Christmas. At that Christmas time, so long ago, Elizabeth and John the Baptist inside her experienced that joy. They didn't try to understand it. Didn't do a dissertation on it before they could leap with joy. They experienced it. And we see the same thing happen on the day of Pentecost. Thousands of people come to know and to experience and have a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. The next new way in which God has entered the world of humanity to share God's self with us. God gave the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that Jesus promised that day in Jerusalem. And those people, when they began to realize what was going on, not in the midst of a great sermon, not in the midst of their Bible study, but when they were sharing food with one another, when they were breaking bread with each other, they experienced extreme joy that comes from relationships. Because you can know all about God, you can explain all sorts of theological applications and all kinds of wonderful stuff. But that doesn't mean you know God. And you see, on that Christmas so long ago, at that time, God gave us a way through Jesus to actually have a relationship with God, to know God, to experience God in a way that wasn't possible before. A way that only comes through Jesus. And then as we see that same joy being exploding in these people on the day of Pentecost, they learn too that they can experience this relationship with God. They can experience this with each other. The God with us, in us, and around us. We experience that God, the God that's in you and the God that's in me. When we experience that, it's something completely new and different. And from that, we leap with joy. We can get that experience. The founder of Communities in Schools had a saying, and it's a program that works with mainly disadvantaged kids, but also any children in schools. And it's a way to get communities, hence the name, communities involved in the students' lives. And Communities in Schools, the founder had a saying. He said, no program has ever changed a child, but relationships do. And programs make relationships possible. You can talk theology all you want. We can understand it, and we can debate it, and we can have fun philosophical discussions. But that's not the same thing as experiencing it. That relationship that comes from being with the God who has chosen to be among us. I want to read something to you. Because real joy happens when we experience God with each other. And we take seriously the role of community ourselves. A few weeks ago, I was made aware that there were a few children at Stonegate Elementary, which is about 2 miles from here, who it's a pretty economically disadvantaged school, who they didn't have coats. And the weather was turning cold, and these 8 children did not have coats. So I put out an email blast, many of you probably saw it, from the church with the sign-up genius, which, by the way, I did, and I was proud of myself for doing it, because I'm not technologically apt. But there were 8 children. All we knew was their gender and their sizes. Peggy leaves at 2:30 in the afternoon. We put it up right before she walked out the door. When I got home at 6, all but one had been signed up for. That was on a Thursday afternoon. By Sunday, I had all the coats, and by Monday, I could deliver them to the elementary school. Now, thank you so much for the coat donations. Our students that received the coats were so excited to get them. One little boy had a huge smile and said, "You mean it's mine, and I can take it home?" Another little girl said, "It's so pretty and fuzzy inside." I know the coats will be put to good use now that the weather is turning colder. Thanks again for putting a smile on some of our students' faces and helping keep them warm. If that doesn't make you leap for joy, I don't know what will. I almost cried. That is an amazing story. But that's what experiencing God in relationship, us and God, us and each other, finding the God in each one of us, the Holy Spirit that wants to be alive through us as the community of God, that's what leaping for joy looks like. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.